This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's such a pleasure always to be here with you today. We have a beautiful, sunny Southern California day, the kind I love. And I have a very special guest today. Pastor Calvin Tibbs is going to be talking about how each and every one of us is a sophisticated masterpiece and how we're called to discover our highest growth potential or a purpose. Dr. Calvin studied in theology and produced a doctorate in ministry and a certification in purpose development. He believes that we're tasked with overcoming purpose deficit disorder and to discover our highest growth potential to add value to others. Welcome to the show, Pastor Calvin. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Mari. Thank you very much. So glad to be here with you.
Good. So tell us a little bit about the story, your story of how you came to do what you currently do.
Well, it's a story that has a lot of turns in it. I'm sure, like most people's stories are, it doesn't seem like we get to the finish line on a straight line. And mine was that way. I started off in Hampton, Virginia, where I grew up, went to high school, knew that Army life was going to happen because in my little 18, 17-year-old mind, America was at a war every 10 years. So I thought, if I'm going to be in a war, I may as well not start at the bottom. So go to school, become an officer, and then from there, pick up, if you will, do your 4 years and get out. Well, I did just that. Only the real thing is, I think the Lord desired that I stay, but at that point, I was kind of tired of Army life. And I got out, and 15, 20, 30 years later, I found myself doing what I was designed to do, which is to help people find their place in the kingdom and their purpose in the earth.
Wow. Very good. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity and the role it played in all of this for you from the time you were younger and even now.
You know, that's a great question. My mother used to always say, don't talk about people. And then she would say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that kind of ideal of not making fun of people made me sort of focused upon the ideal of being authentic. And so authenticity is just a reality, especially in this environment. And of course, I think it's been true the whole time, but in this environment where a lot of rules have changed, the more real the person or authentic the person is, the better they can convey the message that they want.
Yeah, that's so true, because people can tell whether you're being authentic or not. Is that not true? You know, people can really tell that.
Yeah. And people
don't like when you're being phony, or they can detect your fakeness. Not everybody can, but most people can. So as you have pursued this and you've done it in a authentic way, what have you seen as results?
Well, I've seen that I've come back to what I call my original design potential. Number one, I never really wanted to be a pastor. I really did want to be an Army man until I used to play with those little green ones and bite their little heads off, and it felt good in your teeth. They just had fun, right? But real Army life, when they're biting your head off, it wasn't fun. And I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. But I should have stayed, because it helped develop the character that was necessary for me to really understand who in the world I really was and who I really am. And so without the adversity of things that I didn't like, I don't think it would have brought out the true authenticity, because sometimes we could be authentically wrong and that we really like this, but we're not where we actually belong. So for me, I was on the wrong path, not because I was heading into drugs and alcohol, but because I really wasn't focused upon the fact that I was a servant of other people by the leadership that I provide through the training I would obtain. And putting that together helped me to then finally find that I am designed to help people become their best version of what the Creator had in mind.
Mm, how wonderful. And we all, you know, we all have a purpose, a very special one that we can only fulfill, only we can fulfill. And it's such a beautiful thing that you bring people towards this. So tell us a little bit about how you, what steps you took as you began to step into your purpose. How did you find it, and what were the first steps you took?
Well, it took me a long time because I ran from what I called our design potential. And I ran from it because I didn't want to be this and I then didn't want to be that. And I think some people start their journey of purpose on what they don't want. It's not illegal. They just have to make a truer version of or a step towards, well, what do I actually like? But even beyond what I like, what do I hate? And whatever we hate or dislike or disdain, we are probably the solution to that problem. So
wow.
For me, I found that I gravitated towards speaking correct English. Well, I didn't want to major in English, so I majored in broadcast management, and it was in that radio began to come and opportunities to interview and interview people. All that stuff got to occur, but still, I didn't know that there was a leadership component, but I really don't like disorder. I don't like disorder in marriages. I don't like disorder when children are taken advantage of. So I become a solution for both of those, communicating the message to either parents or the children or to, you know, millennials. In fact, my PhD has to do with millennials specifically. In order for that to occur, we have to communicate, and communication has as much to do with listening as it does with sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, wow, that's really something else that your PhD has to do with millennials, because they are future. You know, people put down younger people all the time, but this is our future. So when we invest in them and teach them. So as you bring people towards their purpose, what are some first steps that people can take, someone can take when they're thinking, you know, I know there's a purpose for me. I'm not sure what it is. I'm very confused. What would you suggest as a first step?
Well, I would recommend that you change the narrative. The narrative of a purpose is usually hidden in the ideal that my purpose is like looking for a needle in a haystack. So if that's what I think, now I'm going to pursue my life's ambition, realizing that I might never find it. So what we say to people is, your purpose is not like looking for a needle in the haystack. Your purpose is the haystack. So now your purpose is everywhere. It's not just somewhere. It's everywhere you turn. It's physically in a person's body, what we call the 8 anatomical hints as to what a person's purpose is, from their eyes, their ears, their nose, their mouth, their tongue, or eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and then we move down to their hands, and here you go, sexual organ, and then their feet. So if all of this, including the head, which makes it the head, the thinking will direct where we walk, and it will direct where we become intimate in places where we should or should not be. It is affected by what we hear and should not hear. So our body is telling us this, those very things. So if your purpose is everywhere, we can easily start with the anatomy.
Wow. I love that, because you never hear that. That is so different. You hear the opposite. It's so hard. It took so many years, and it took me a lot of years, but nobody told me that it was everywhere either, right? I heard the needle in the haystack story and believed it. So I absolutely love that. So let's dig a little bit more. You know, I'm still stuck on the part where you say what you hate. You're probably a solution. Your purpose is probably a solution to that. How did you come to that conclusion? And let's talk about that a little bit deeper.
Well, I think we all come to the planet as a gift. We are a gift initially to our parents, we hope. And if it's healthy, then you're that little bundle of joy, and, you know, you look like you look, mom, dad, people know about even those, and all of a sudden you begin to morph into things that you're informed to become. But the fact that we came as a gift doesn't leave when it seems that we can't find our gift, because inside of us is the answer to somebody's problem. So we come to Earth with gifts that belong to others. We actually owe people what's inside of us. We owe our family the benefit of being who we were created to be. Money follows the gifting because people will pay for a gift even if they don't like the person. So when it comes down to how we get there, the hate factor is a problem that our gift solves. I had a guy on the other day I was talking to, and one of our members, and he was just really, really frustrated. One, he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital because he hated his job. He was worn out in the job. And now he's there on the phone crying. And I'm like, well, what's God telling you? He made you. And he's like, I don't know. I can't tell. I'm like, well, what do you hate? In about 3 seconds, he says, well, I hate. And he filled in the blanks like, well, wait a minute here. You can tell me what you hate, but you can't tell me what God is wanting. I said, your gifting is in the area where you solve problems. How many jobs have you applied for in the area to solve what you hate? Zero. So your body is telling you, I'm going to break down if you keep putting me in the wrong position where there is no release of the help that I was designed to provide.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I've seen that happen where our bodies, if we don't listen, our bodies finally give us a very big message. And who wants to be hospitalized? We don't want to get to that point. So let's talk about an easier way to listen. You know. An easy way to pay attention and not end up in the hospital or not end up with a nervous breakdown. People have that happen to them as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a living witness. I had a stroke, you know, 2 years ago, almost three now. I was in the right purpose. I was in the right place, but I was not in the right position in terms of my giving over my life's work, giving over what I should be doing to the one that gave me the work to begin with. It's almost like a two-year-old who says, Mommy, I can do it. Okay, great. That's great. You now can tie your shoes. And then later, now I can do it. Because it's all a part of the growth process that we think being able to do it for ourselves makes us grown. Well, it does on one level, but on a level beyond, let's just call it cognition, is the understanding that maybe there is more that I don't know than what I do know. And so for me, we were retooling our church in terms of how we functioned to down to two transferable and measurable items. Are we helping people who do know Christ by strengthening them in discipleship? And are we helping people who do not know Christ to come to him? By the time we finished this, it was a 12-month process. We flew a guy in for 2 weeks out of each month or two weekends a month, and it cost money, and it was challenging, and there were some teeth being pulled. I had no idea how many teeth were being pulled until it finished on one Sunday, and 7 days later, I had a stroke from all of that pressure.
Wow.
So we can be in the right place, but we can do it wrong because we're taking on more and sharing less.
Oh, I like that story. Not that I like that you had a stroke, but I like that you're so open and authentic and willing to share that with us, because here you were in the right place, but like you say, you were trying to do it all yourself. You know, when we do that, we become weak instead of being strong, because that's what the world tells us. You know, society tells us if you're strong, you do it yourself, right? No, we become weak because we're not connected to the power that can do it so much easier. And they can just do it.
Exactly.
Just, it could just happen. I've seen that in my life. Things just happen. They just appear. They just manifest. And it's just the most beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that with us. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Pastor Calvin a question, you can call in to 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can call now, and we'll be right back.
It is time to order your copy of The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination, written by Eric M. Twiggs. By reading Eric's book, you will receive a proven roadmap and blueprint to beat procrastination so you can make more money, get more done, and become aligned with your divine purpose. To order your copy, visit www.thedisciplineofnow.com.
Author Paz Ellis takes readers on a cross-cultural and transgenerational journey with Plantains and the Seven Plagues, a memoir, half Dominican, half Cuban, and full life. This book is about life, loss, memory, culture, and family. Written with a healthy dose of wit and an abundance of sincerity, it is honest, painfully relatable, and deeply heartfelt. Visit PazEllis.com for more information on Plantains and the Seven Plagues.
We see the oppression that goes on before our eyes when priests and police get away with heinous crimes. The Veronica Journey on Amazon and Kindle. Once upon a time, the Pope controlled everything. People were slaughtered brutally, and whole cultures were destroyed for not submitting. What if the Vatican would have had guns, nuclear weapons, Hitler's technology, cars, and spaceships? The Veronica Journey on Amazon and available on Kindle.
What you know about money is making you broke. I'm author Ted McClymont. I help smart, busy people discover why your money temperament is making you broke and then show you how to fix it in 5 easy steps. Discover Your Money Temperament, A Common Sense Guide to Financial Security, is an easy read for everybody who spends money and wants to make better money choices. Order your copy now at www.tedmcclymont.com and learn why success with money is about managing your behavior, not your money.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest, Pastor Calvin Tibbs, talking about how each and every one of us is a sophisticated masterpiece, and we are called to step into our purpose in this world. So what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
I think, Mari, it has to do with the journey that we're all on. We're on what we call a love-led encounter, because we were made in love. Literally, we got here because somebody made love. And the idea behind that is you. It's me. It's everyone listening. It's the person who won the 600 million count race. Between 200 and 700 million sperm cells are released, and the one that wins is us. So as we were made by love, and now we're here on a love assignment. Love is 16 different things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love chapter. And it's far more than hugs and kisses, which are a great blessing. It's being patient. It's being kind. It's not keeping an account of wrongdoings. And so along the way, if we read that verse and we find out that we just have enough work to do on ourselves than to point out the issues of others as a primary basis for existence, that we can really be about the encounter of releasing the gift of love that we were created to become when we were first created by God and then manifested in the womb of our mothers. So you're on a love-led encounter. That's the message I would convey.
Wow. I think that's a very timely message, especially what we're going through with the COVID-19 and all the other things that are going on in this world. You know, if more love was focused on, if we would all love fully and beautifully, things could turn around really quickly. I think that's my opinion anyway.
I agree with you. I mean, if we loved more and hated less, we would learn more and fight less. Because I can't fight a person who is an expression of my own self, because we're all in here together. And I have a solution for someone who has a problem. Someone has a solution. Because I have a problem. And when we put that together, we're being led by love, God, who put us all here to be problem solvers with the gift that we have. And I think some of the challenges, people are afraid. Their gift, they feel, is too big for them. And they walk in fear of being what someone said they could never be. And so we're missing love that's owed us by that individual's gift.
Yeah. So what do you see as a solution for those who, maybe somebody's listening in, who know they have a gift and they're too scared to step into it?
I think that person has to really awaken to what I call the wrong tape recorder or the wrong messaging. You may remember back when cassette tapes and 8-track tapes were and reel-to-reels were in place. Great technology, that analog. But it's moved now to digital. And with that is MP3, MP4, and who knows what else is coming out. If we keep replaying those old recordings, the fear factor, then we'll have to have the old machine, old mindset, because there are very few 8-track tape players or machines that they even work in. But we, because as humans are so, you know, transformable, we become the machine of the past, the present, and the future. It's those past sets, if you will, we've got to stop letting exist, because as long as the narrative is what we can't do because of something someone said, as long as those narratives continue to play, it doesn't matter that we have new technology. So the first order of a fearful person is to get rid of, let's challenge first, and then get rid of that old tape recorder of what you cannot do that's been updated beyond cassettes, beyond MP3s, perhaps even beyond DVDs, and get it to something that's functional for what you know about you that you are capable of when you look in the mirror, and then start rehearsing that. The rehearsal of what you can become, if the truth be known, if you rehearse what you are, not can be, what you already are, you're just not being that. To rehearse that is to get a new pattern. When a new pattern is in place, you can't stop it, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Wow, I love that. Rehearse what you already are. What a beautiful message. It's very powerful. I could feel it even as you were saying those words. Because we already are that. We just haven't stepped into it or fully stepped into it or even acknowledged it at that point. Lovely.
Exactly, Mari. Exactly. And honestly, I think this little this global pandemic is giving people a chance to do that. It's a discovery time. The world is on pause. And I think what we're supposed to be thinking about is, what do I want to do when this is done? And then start that process now. And the more confident a person can be, and we begin to bless the world with what we have already on the inside of it. So, yeah.
I agree. I'm even bold enough to say, what do I want to do now? Because we can step into things now that will be helpful for what's going on. Like you say, each of us has a gift that helps someone else. So there may be some people that are in the position to help now what's going on. So
right.
I love that. Such encouraging, beautiful words. Very good. So I know that you have some books. You have a book. Would you like to talk about that for a little bit?
The most recent book is Pray for America, the President, Congress, and the Senate. It's an ebook form, and it will be available here, of course. And the idea behind the book, I wrote it actually 4 years ago, which was just before President Trump was elected. I sort of knew he would be, and he was. And it's not because of anybody that's bad or anybody that's good, but because of what God's trying to do. And at this point, two components of that book, which are important, is America goes as Israel goes. When America blesses Israel, America gets blessed because of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And when America doesn't bless Israel, we're in trouble. Economically, it's historically proven. This president desires for the country not only to be reconciled to Israel by way of even a bold move to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's a prophetic statement. And the power of that act, whether he knew it was prophetic or not, is not the point. The fact that he did it is the point. That aligns us in a very favorable way as far as God is concerned. And so all of America needs to pray, not just for the president, but for the Congress, the Senate, and for our citizens, our neighbors. And I believe the more we pray, the easier it becomes for the Lord to do what he desires, because inasmuch as he is God and he can do, as it seems, what he wants, he works with people. And if people work with him, he works with them one way. If they work against him, he works a different way. This country needs to unify along the fact that the fabric of the country has been torn, and it has been torn long before now by people, by demonic activity. I'll call it dark forces. But when we love each other, when we look out for one another, when we give one another the benefit of the doubt, all of these are love-led encounter opportunities, then that book, through prayer, will cause God to move a certain kind of way. And I just hope a bunch of folks get it so that we can get God's attention.
Wow, I love that. I love that you're giving a message of pray for our leaders, all our leaders, not just the president, because in this country, we tend to hate our leaders, right? We tend to talk about them and say what a terrible job they're doing. And it doesn't really matter what party they are. Eventually, they become despised. I mean, I've been watching through the years what happens. And so I just love that message, Pastor Tibbs, because, again, I think it's extremely timely. We're in a place that I've never seen before in my lifetime in this country with the division and the hating each other because of whatever reason, politics, race, whatever. So thank you so much for promoting that. And let's talk about how to get a hold of you in your book for a minute.
Well, the easiest way is to click on the link that's going to be provided, and there you can just go directly to the book. You get some bonuses with it too on how to pray for your children and some faith declaration statements, all that comes with it. And also, you can go to our church website, which is kdchurch.org, and click on there and go to the events tab. And the events tab shows 6 days of activities between live events that are underway and then training events that are underway on Zoom. So between Zoom and YouTube, we're on helping people learn one thing or another because of the state of the country that we're in and the last days that we're in. And if they go to those two locations, they can find us.
Awesome. And it's KD Church, so kindergartendaychurch.org. And the link to the book is on the Blog Talk website, but you can also find him on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Go to the radio show page. He's there with his picture, a link to the church website, and a link to where to get his book. Fantastic. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to listeners, something that may be deeply on your heart today?
You know, I think what's really resonating in my heart now is to use the practical methods of much of what we were discussing today about love. And we do that by doing what James, the half-brother of Jesus, said. He said, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get mad or to wrath. If we can just practice that, slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get angry, then some of the racial divide that is brought about by the darkness will have a chance to be abated by the simple reality that I'm not talking first. I'm slow to speak. I'm quicker to listen to the other person. I may not agree with them, but I'm at least hearing them. And that act of compassion will quell the anger. And when compassion is loosed, love is in the room.
Wow. I love that idea of love is in the room. It's just beautiful. It goes on back for ages, but it's so true. If we listen, if we could only take time to listen and to get to know somebody instead of judging them just before even knowing them or knowing what they're going to say and then judging what they're saying, because we can't listen if we're judging everything someone is saying, right? Our minds are busy judging and then commenting in our own heads, you know, all the stuff that goes in our brains. And so, but if you just stop, you know, there should be like a big stop button, just stop. So I love that you shared that. I think that we really need to do that. I need to do that. I'm Cuban, so I'm kind of a quick to wrath kind of person. It's not Latin blood, and I will admit it. I'm still working on it. I get mad really fast, but you know what? I get unmad really fast too. It's just like, okay, over. But I love that. I think it's a timely message. I think we all need to listen. And I think we'll learn a lot. And things will move forward in a much better, more peaceful, and loving way, like you say. You're spreading love. Thank you so much. Yeah. So thank you so much for being with us today, Pastor Calvin. It's been such a pleasure having you and so many wise things that you've shared with the listener. And thank you for listening in today. Remember that there'll be a replay of this right after we're done. So spread this message. Spread this message of love, of listening, of compassion, of trying to understand the other person instead of tear them down because of what the political climate or society's climate is right now. And make sure to listen to our next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell.
broadcasting live from Southern California.